Sales hymns and songs, making melody in your heart. It got to make a melody in my heart. And I have to admit, I got blessed. It spilled over. I was a humming and whistling, trying to remember all the words to it. But I thank God for spiritual songs that ministered us by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Okay.
Forty-five. Yeah, every now and then the shadow of the cross comes by.
45. Everyone sang it.
She prepared
the lead. I don't think I know that, do you?
Yeah, journey on towards heaven's shining goal. We may suffer pain and loss. We bring up the blessings if we live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross you'll lead us to that home above. Face to face on the tree of sorrow, Jesus died for all, took upon himself our cross. As I see him there, I long to ever live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross you lead us to that home above. There we'll see him face to face. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss, may we be a light and teach them how to live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? Cross you'll lead us to that home above. There we'll see him face to face. Every now and then, boy, it's good that the shadow of that cross fall upon you. And you remember that day when you knelt down at the foot of the cross?
Amen.
In deep contrition, Fanny Crosby said, I thank God for those deep contritions. Because if I hadn't been convicted, I don't think I'd have been kneeling down. But I'll tell you, buddy, I couldn't find fast enough find myself to my knees to find a refuge for my soul. Well, I'm glad He was standing there ready.
Amen.
Standing there waiting. He was more than able to save the uttermost old sinner named Eddie Wade. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. Maybe anybody got a special on your heart this morning? I thought I'd put a letter in here that Steve Schelecki, the guy that makes the magnetic sign, sent me, and I forgot it, left it at the house. But I'll bring it. It was really good. A good letter that he sent us. Just wanted to encourage us. And I wished I'd remembered to bring it. I forgot. Has anybody got a special on your heart this morning? If not, well, let's get our Bibles open up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starts out with the gospel. And ends up with those that know the gospel. And he gives admonition here, or admonition to us. After we've received the gospel, Paul here tells us how we ought to conduct ourselves. He says in verse number 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, which we preached about last Sunday. And if God be willing, I'd like to just preach about unmovable, but if He be willing, we throw unmovable and always abounding together in this. But unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to try to preach this morning on unmovable. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the day and hour we live in. Lord, we look back on days gone by. Lord, we see all the work that's been done for the glory of God. Lord, just having a part in that work, even though it might be a small thing that we could do, Lord, with joy we want to do what we can for the praise of our Savior, for the glory of God. Lord, we want to be found working when You come. We read in Your Word, it says, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? And Lord, as we see the Bible being attacked, as we see churches going belly up, we see where they made the mistake of trading their Bible, the Word of God, for the doctrine and commandments of men, and there's no Holy Spirit manifested, Lord, to help them, and they get, like Jude said, having no spirit, sensual, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. It's what most churches are today. But I'm so glad today to be able to draw strength from the Scripture and to have the witness of the Spirit to be able even today to preach the message of God today to your children. Lord, I pray for help from above. I pray to anoint me from on high, fill my home with oil. Give to me to give to these. And I'll give You all the praise and all the glory. May the world look and wonder. And Lord, I pray they'll only be able to come to one conclusion, that it was by the hand of the living God, the Lord, this message come to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul talked about to this church in Corinthians. He said, be ye steadfast. We tried our best to elaborate on that last Sunday. The second thing he told them, he said, be unmovable. And, when you think about something being unmovable, I've got a lot of things comment on here. I think about like water coming down a hill. And as it comes down that hill, when it comes upon something that won't move, it either stops or it finds a way to go around it. And I wish we could be like that. I wish we could be where the world had to stop at us or find a way around us because we wouldn't move. We wouldn't compromise. We wouldn't bend. We wouldn't bow. We wouldn't sell out. But rather we'd be unmovable to the world. Amen. I mean, I'm now in a sure place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we could just leave a testimony like Enoch that we please God. Amen. What days He gave us. That our home may know. That we love the Lord. We got to live for Him. Why, we got breath in our body. Amen.
Amen.
You know, your neighbors ought to have some opinion of you.
Yeah.
I remember my pastor one time out there at work, he talked about me and he worked with, they were real sarcastic. He said it's hard to work with. Somebody was making fun one day about Christians. One of them, Eddie Key, he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, that man's a Christian. Boy, it'd be good if someone could come to that conclusion.
Amen.
That there was no doubt, no mistake. Somebody had to do somebody's funeral, had to try to make something out of nothing. Say, well, this or that. I'm telling you, boy, I want to know,
amen,
that I'm saved of the Lord. I'll tell you right now, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and a Christless life. It ain't worth living, amen. I lived one for 34 years.
That's right.
Man, twice dead. Body of death. Sentence of death. Walking dead man. One day, Brother Melvin, God manifested His Spirit in me.
Amen.
I became whole, Anita. And boy, life.
Amen.
What God had in mind for mankind manifested in my heart and soul. And my mama, when I told her, she said, you're a fanatic. I say, glory, let it be forever true. Amen.
Amen.
Unmovable. Like a dam. Sometimes they're great old big dams. Sometimes they're just a little old bitty. Put in a crevice down, but look how much they hold back. I mean, boy, even a beaver can build a dam. And sometimes they got to go down with dynamite and try to blow them structures up so the waters can flow again. That's what we need to be.
Amen.
We need to be, you know, stand for the Bible, for the Word of God, for the work that God left us to do. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul here again admonishing a church in Ephesus. Here's what he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's where we get our strength from. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus said in John chapter 15, He said, without me you can do nothing. But Paul said through Him, I can do all things. We're more than conquerors through our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Every now and then I get to thinking, you know, I'm a 60-year-old man. And every now and then I get thinking I can really do something. You know, I go out there, you know. My son, he sold his Ford Explorer this week for scrap metal. And we had contemplated taking that reach hitch off the back of it. But neat, I looked up underneath there and it was so rusted. I said, you'd be better off just let it go with it, son. It's just not worth taking off. He said, well, what about that receiver in the center? I said, yeah. You might ought to knock that out of there. That'd be good. He said, you got a sledgehammer, Brother Melvin. I had two or three. He picked up once and I never heard such a fail in my life. And he come back with a pin. He said, well, I got the pin out of it. He said, they're on the way. Heck, we'll let it go with it. I got a bigger sledgehammer. And with more tenacity, I got a little old dog. It's got tenacity. You think it's a polar bear in a little bitty dog's body. I went out there and flailed on that thing, Brother Melvin. I beat it this way. I beat it that way. And I looked down there and it hadn't moved none. And I flailed on that thing and beat on that thing. And lo and behold, it moved a little bit. And even though it wore me out, I want you to know it was not unmovable. Amen. I got it out of there and championed that thing and brought it back to my son and said, there, it just took a bigger hammer. More determination. When I was a young man, 18 years old, Brother Vernon, I had a tooth It was like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And it was like a woman, the time had come. And I couldn't ignore it no longer, Carolyn. The aspirin that you put in there didn't do it no more. And nothing, I mean, buddy, it was dominating me. And I went to my daddy, woke him up. I said, Dad, I gotta have some help. There's a tooth in here, back in the back. I ain't got no sense today. It's a wisdom tooth. I said, it's gotta go. It's killing me. And we called at a time, Dr. Bowman. He said, I'll meet you at the office. Man, that was back when doctors didn't even come to your house. But he said, I'll meet you at the office. We drove up there, Molly, 12 o'clock at night. And he got up there, older guy. He shot me all full of that whatever it is, Novocaine or whatever it is, numbs that you know. And Keith, he got up there in my lap. And he laid hold on that tooth. And he was pulling both hands as hard as he could backwards. And I had my hands on that chair. And I was pulling as all I could the other way. And him pulling and me pulling. And I mean, he was going around and around. And I was trying my best to help him. We finally had to stop him. Boy, take an intermission and rest a minute. He's shaking. I was just shaking. I thought that thing's tied to my shoelaces or something. We fired in on there again, boy. And I mean, he said, I believe it moved a little bit. But that third time he went and he pulled a tooth out, it had roots on it that long. He thought it was unmovable. Three great big long roots on that thing, he jerked it out of there. And I have to admit, boy, it felt good to get out of there, Gaylor. He thought it was unmovable. But I have to admit, between him and me and a lot of persistence and working with that thing, finally got it worked loose and jerked it out of there, amen. Unmovable. Couldn't believe I even remembered it, much less survived such an ordeal, Carolyn. Paul said here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Here's what the problem is, most churches today, maybe some of your problem today too. He said, put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, right.
He went on to explain what he just said, verse 12. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes you think I'm your enemy, and sometimes I think you're my enemy, and we get all like two big Indians, no move, and we back up back to back. I'm not moving! I'm not your enemy, I'm your brother.
Sorry, amen.
You're not my enemy, you're my brother. You're not my enemy, you're my sister. But there's one that's able to cause all kind of problems, and I'll tell you right now, He will. Do you give any place to the devil like America's been doing? Pretty soon your whole house, buddy, you run out of ground and he's made shipwreck of what used to be a godly, God-fearing nation. Amen.
Right.
He'll do the same with you.
Right.
Boy, there's a lot of amens this morning. I thank God for them. That encourages this preacher. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ain't that amazing, boy? We want to try to sue this and sue that one. Go, make our complaint. Make our, our side known. After a while, work. I never seen so much drama in all my life. It beats all I've seen. I finally come down to an age that I can actually just sit back and watch this drama. I can see where it's going. I can see how long it's going to take to get there. I can even see what's going to happen when it does get there. It's kind of funny. But you finally reach the age you can actually see this stuff at work. You can see how they fall into these snares. This one girl out there at work, her name's Lacey. I call her Lazy, and it's a better name for her than Lacey. She knows how to manipulate people. She knows how to do it. And she's got them like puppets on a string. And when it don't work right, she even knows how to even get them mad about it. And I'm sitting back there thinking, man, I've been like that for years. I'm glad I finally growed up a little bit. But listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The problem's not me and you. The problem is the devil is able through you and through me to get us head on edge, amen. One against another and a fighting and a biting and a bickering and I'm telling you, buddy, won't get nothing done like that. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Here's what the problem is. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here's his recommendation. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, Paul said, to stand. Verse 14, he said, stand therefore. Once you've done all, that ain't all you can do. After you've done all you can do, I'll tell you what else you can do. You can just stand.
That's right. Amen.
See, I may not have won, but I ain't giving my ground up. There's a man in the Bible named Shaman. He's named one of David's mighty men. Nobody knows much about Shaman. I mean, there's only one place mentioned about him in the entire Bible. But if you would care to look, I'll tell you where to look. Shaman is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 through 12. He's Shaman the harlot. A Harite, H-A-R-A-R-I-T-E. He's one of David's mighty men. And the only thing that's attributed to Shaman, not only is one of David's mighty men, but this story here is in the Bible. It said the Philistines come down to a piece of ground where they had worked all year long to grow a crop of lentils, which is beans. And the Bible said all the people fled. They was willing to give up all that they'd worked for. It's willing to just let it go. Just let them have it. I beat the far out of that hitch, but I got it out of there. Standing in the basement of Trophy. I might have sweated a little bit. Wore myself a little bit, but I got it, Molly. My son come down with a pen that goes through the hole. I come down there with a receiver that goes in the hole. I would have took the hitch off too if it had been worth taking off. It wasn't even worth fooling with. But I tell you what, all that they'd worked for, they labored all year long to grow this crop of lentils. And the Philistines showed up. The Bible said all the people fled. It says, but Shema, and he stood his ground in the midst of those lentils. He defended it. The Bible said he slew those Philistines. Luke's here this morning. He don't know, but I done got root right here. Luke's bullies hoping that Luke won't stand his ground. He's hoping Luke will let him keep bullying him. Yeah. Keep running. You know what a bully is? He's somebody who hopes you stay afraid of him. Because once you stand up against him, he's going to turn my bully to a coward. I've done it. I know it works. Amen. I may have become a little bit of a bully myself, but I'll tell you one thing. I found out one day, the only one thing to do with a bully, that's just find out how big he is. Amen. But one thing a bully's counting on, Luke, he's counting on you to be afraid, to be intimidated, to run, to do everything but stand your ground. I'll tell you, buddy, it was a good day when I stood my ground.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what we need to do as children of God. We need to start standing our ground, occupying the office. Now listen, I know I'm a preacher. You might envy, think that's some great thing. I'll be honest with you, if you can get out of it, get out of it. It isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's a burden and a blessing. Kind of like cinnamon rolls that are mixed together. There's some blessing and there's some burden, ain't there, preacher? I'll tell you right now, boy. One day the Lord put that crown on, Paul said. One day he said the Lord put that crown on me. He said the Lord himself will put that crown on me. He said then he didn't say the toils of the road were nothing.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, buddy, he said he's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said this about Paul. He said he's a chosen vessel unto me. And if God has indeed chosen you to preach, you won't get out of it anyway. But every time I hear a young man say, Brother Eddie, pray for me. I think God's called me to preach. I say, buddy, if you can get out of it, get out of it. It's not of God. But I'll tell you right now, if you can't get out of it, go out your calling and preach. Amen. Preach the Word of God. Somebody will miss hell because of that.
That's right. Amen.
Shema stood his ground, Luke. Booked a bunch of Philistines. Everybody else ran. Saul told David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33, he said, you're but a youth. And he said this about Goliath. He said, he's a man of war from his youth. Verse 49 tells you who's still standing when he met. When that 9-foot Muslim giant found that rock lodged between his eyes crossed, he hit the ground like a fish. David went up there and drew his sword out and took his head off.
That's right.
And so will befall all that don't know Jesus. Amen. That 9 foot tall Muslim thought he was bad. He belittled the armies of the living God. And one little boy showed up and said, "I'll go down. Let no man's heart fail because of him. I'll go down and slay this giant." Joseph, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 8, that he refused the offer. And a lot of men, I'll just tell you what the Bible says about men. It said Elijah was a man of like passion. You thank God for passion. The passion needs to be brought in subjection. Uncontrolled passion gets out of hand. The passion's important. And the Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion, yet he prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years, and he prayed again and it rained. But Joseph also was a man of passion. He wasn't no Superman, he's just a man. And Potiphar's wife, 3 times, not once, 3 times she said, "Lie with me." I'm just going to guess she's probably pretty good looking. I don't know. The Bible don't tell, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. She had her eyes on Joseph. A lot of men, and I don't have to worry about that. I never was blessed with looks. I'm kind of glad that's a blessing. I didn't see it. I'm kind of glad I didn't have it. A lot of men, boy, they get a... I remember my pastor telling me a story of a great godly man that was swept away by a woman. Met him in the door on visitation one night without a stitch of clothing on. And even though he ran from the presence of her, he came back like a moth to the flame. Ended up losing his wife, his church, his testimony. It takes years to build a testimony. That long to lose one.
Amen.
Joseph refused the offers of Potiphar's wife to lay with her. Matter of fact, verse 10 said he wouldn't even lay by her. She said, "Lie by me. If you ain't going to lay with me, just lie by me." He said, "I ain't going to do it." Boy, that's tenacity. That's steadfastness. That's unmovability. The Bible said in verse 12, she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." And he left that garment. That was all she needed. She made propaganda against Joseph. They believed it, but it worked out for his good. But I'll just tell you this, as long as it ain't true, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Yeah, she said this Hebrew mocked me and tried to force himself on me. "Look here, I got the evidence." Yeah. You might want to keep an eye on what you hear on the news. Matter of fact, they're talking about that uncle of that leader of North Korea said they fed him to them hungry dogs, and they said they found out that wasn't necessarily true. You might believe a lie if you ain't careful. I'm glad the Word of God is not only the truth, but the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. Joseph refused to lie with Potiphar's wife. A lot of men haven't made it through temptations like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3. They refused bow down to the great image that all the world said at the sound of the music, bow down to the image which Nebuchadnezzar has raised up. Can you imagine how they stood out when all them people fell down and 3 boys were standing and they didn't fall down? And they went and told the king about it and he got all mad. His vestes changed. He said, "Is it true, old Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that you won't fall down and worship my image that I've set up at the sound?" He said, "If you'll fall down, you'll live. If not, be it known unto you, you'll be thrown into the fire. And who is that God that'll deliver you?" They said, "King, we're careful to answer thee," or not careful to answer thee, but they said one thing. They said, "We know our God's able to deliver us from your fiery furnace, but whether he does or whether he don't, we ain't bowing."
That's right.
Buddy, the king's commandment was to go throw them in that fiery furnace. King's commandment was so urgent, and the fire was so vehement and hot, it killed the man that threw them in.
Yeah.
Verse 25 said, the king looked down in there and he said, "Did we not throw 3 in?" He said, "I need an amen here. Did we not throw 3 in?" He said, "Behold, I see 4, and the form of the 4th is like unto the Son of God." Amen. You get thrown in the fire, I'll tell you one thing. If you're there for the right reason,
amen.
Bless you, Molly. You'll have some company. They were steadfast. and he was steadfast. The Bible said they felt no hurt. They come out, they didn't even smell like smoke. And the clothes wouldn't burn, and the hair wouldn't burn. And old King found himself to be but a man. He didn't have as much authority as he thought he had. I'm going with God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going with God. Whatever He says, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. I don't even want to be thrown in a fire furnace. I'll tell you one thing. The King saw something. We looked in that fire. He saw something everybody ought to see. If you get thrown in the fire, He'll be there with you. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel was told that there had been an order from the Medes not to pray. And he said, when he knew that it had been signed, he said he went and opened up his windows. And he prayed as he did on other days.
Yeah.
Three times a day, praying towards Jerusalem. And that bunch had this whole thing all done. They said, we can't find no fault in Daniel except pertaining to his God. They went up there and they said, O King, did you not sign a decree? Is not the decree of the Medes? Is it not unchangeable and unmovable? That Daniel, he's over there praying. Luke, don't let them tell you you can't pray in school. Be a Daniel.
Amen.
Don't let them tell you, Jesse, you can't pray in school. They told Daniel he couldn't pray. You know what? They had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. That king got so tormented, tore up over it, he didn't sleep all night long.
Right.
He come early the next morning trembling, wavering voice, and said, oh, Daniel, is thy God able to keep thee out of the mouth of the lion? Oh, Daniel in there, Charlotte, he said, oh, King, live forever. He said, my God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. I used one for a pillow and the other two to cover up with.
Yeah.
They brought Daniel out and that king said, throw them others in there. And the Bible said they didn't even make it to the bottom. Said the lions had mastery over them, broke all their bones. They didn't even make it to the ground. I tell you what, buddy, if you're going to stand for something worth standing for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Unmovable. I'm telling you today, if the church is unmovable, the world will take note of it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Moses, the Bible said, he refused to be called Pharaoh's son.
Amen.
The daughter, son-in-law, or whatever. He refused the wealth and safety of Egypt and fled it. God brought him back. Hebrews tells us that he refused Egypt's wealth and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. You know, Peter, last Sunday I used him. And even though Peter fell from his steadfastness, he didn't stay down. It's one thing to fall, but it's another thing to stay down.
That's right.
You know, the devil, if he can get you down, he may do it. I've been down. It's been too long ago. But when you get up, that's when the devil gets worried. You see, they had Jesus in the tomb. They sealed put a stone over the door and sealed it. The devil said, whew, we got him. And old Death said, don't worry about the fame here on that. I got him. On that third day,
amen,
old Death squalled out.
Yeah.
I can't hold him! He's getting up! That devil took off a running, looking over his shoulder, and I want you to know, buddy, all they had left was an empty tomb. He got up. He said, I got power to lay my life down and power to take it up again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not the God of the dead, the God of the living.
Amen.
The Muslims said the only thing we got to glory in is an empty tomb. Thank God for an empty tomb. Muhammad's still down there rotting. And Joseph Smith's still down there stinking. But our God left behind an empty tomb, Molly. He said, go on and take a good look. He ain't here. He's risen. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, we're yet in our sins. And your faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. But he got up. Amen. He got up and said, I'm not down. Amen. I'm he that was dead. And I'm alive forevermore. And behold, I got the keys. Death in the grave. Peter got up. You know what, Carolyn? He told us how not to fall. What some a man got down, got up, and here's what he said. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he said, besides all this, giving all diligence. Have your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge. The knowledge temperance, the temperance patience. The patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness. The brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I ain't gonna say you ain't gonna get down. I'm just going to say this, don't stay down.
All right, amen.
My pastor years ago told a story. I got it. Right here. Under the Emperor Licinius in 320 A.D., 40 soldiers, of the garrison of the Sabesti in Armenia bore the glorious testimony of Jesus Christ, refused to sacrifice the idols. They were thrown in prison, tortured in many ways. They were stripped of all their clothes and thrown out onto a frozen pond. Out on that frozen pond, Brother Melvin, here's what they said. 40 souls stand for thee. 40 souls seek victory. One of them, whose courage failed, threw himself. They had a big fire built up on the bank of the pond. And the soldier said, anytime you want to announce Jesus, you can come over here and warm yourself by this fire. We got some coffee going here. You can have you a nice cup of coffee. Got you some donuts here. We got you some clothes, some gloves, some boots here. Paraphrasing a little bit there. One of them threw himself out of that group, run to that bank. You know what that 39 out there on that ice said, Molly? 40 souls stand for thee. 40 souls seek victory. One of them guards, Carolyn, shook them boots off, took his clothes off, left the company of that fire and his fellow soldiers and went out there on that frozen ice. And he started saying, 40 souls stand for thee. 40 souls seek victory. I heard this a long time ago, about 25 years ago. And there was 40 martyrs died on that frozen pond. When it all died, their bodies were gathered, carried away on chairs to be burned. The youngest one was still alive, Luke. They hoped to pervert him to idol worship, but his mother took him in her arms and she followed those others in their chariots with her son. And when her son had breathed his last breath, she laid him in with those who were more than ever his brothers in Christ. They were thus united in death as in life. And those 40 souls entered into heaven together. Let us all imitate the fortitude of those 40 martyrs in faith and not grow slack. David said, is there not a cause? You know what, today it's easy to come up with an excuse. My pastor used to always say the devil can't do nothing with a made up mind.
Amen.
He said, if you'll leave it to choice or chance, the devil will talk you out of it every time.
That's right.
40 souls. Wasn't easy, but it was possible. 40 souls stand for thee. Jesse, 40 souls seek victory. Paul said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of men, Michael Combs wrote a song called Not For Sale. That song actually is talking about where Naboth refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab, and Jezebel stirred up a bunch of people, made up some kind of propaganda against Nabal, had him stoned, and she went in there and said, quit your pouting, go down there and take your vineyard. And he went down there to get that vineyard, and he's all happy and excited about getting that vineyard, and there was Elijah. Elijah told him, he said, the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, they'll wash your blood out of the chariot. No way Ahab thought, I can get around there. He went into battle, the Bible says, and he disguised himself. He had someone else put the royal robe on, Jehoshaphat, I believe, or something like that. Here come all the enemy after Jehoshaphat, and he cried out. The Bible said a certain man drew back a bow at venture, and Ahab's over here, and he drew back his bow like this right here, and said, and God took that arrow, and it went in between the harness of his armor. And Ahab said, I'm sore wounded, take me out. The Bible said they took him down there to where Naboth's blood was licked by the dogs, and they washed his blood out according to the Word of God. I'm going with God. You go ahead and make your haphazard decisions. You know, you didn't get saved last year. There's a good chance you won't get saved this year. Because you know what? If the devil was able to keep you from getting saved last year, what's to stop him from getting you to get saved this year? Yeah! You know what stopped him from stopping me getting saved? I said, I've had enough. I don't care. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get saved today. And I was unmovable in that thought. I may not know how to do it. Now you're talking about crude. I was crude. Man, I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to be saved. But I had never been in church. So I didn't know how to be saved. I'd worked with a man, Brother Melvin. He was unmovable. I tried to sway him. Wendell Shaw. Unmovable. He loved the Lord, Brother Melvin.
Amen.
He didn't stand 10 foot tall. In my eyes, he did. Just a common man. Love the Lord, Brother Vernon.
Yep.
He worked with someone as despicable as me. Here I am over there making fun of God and telling jokes I should have never told, ashamed of all of that. Wished I could undo it. You know what he did, Carolyn? He just showed me his unmovableness. And when I got under conviction, you know what I thought? I thought, if I can just get to Wendell. Heard, I said, if I can just get to Wendell, I believe he can help me. Now, that don't really make nothing to you. I know it don't. But I felt if I could get to Wendell, he could tell me what I needed to do. Because I didn't know what to do. Y'all heard me give this before, but I won't tell it again. That was 25 years ago. I went out there to R. Donnelly where I worked for 32 years. And I went there frantically looking for Wendell Shaw. I couldn't find him. I looked everywhere. I looked where he's supposed to be. I went in the restrooms. Finally, I said, has anybody seen Wendell? Everybody said, no, we don't know where he is. Finally, I got to one. I said, have you seen Wendell Shaw? He said, yeah, I think he's in the foreman's office talking to the foreman. You wouldn't dare go in there, would you, Eddie? You get enough conviction, I promise you will. Right. Oh, yeah, God's bigger than me. He had me right where He wanted me at, Anita. I still remember that. I jerked that door open on that foreman's office. Them two elegant men talking about printing problems. Opened up that door. Interrupted their conversation without any consideration whatsoever for either one of them. I said, can either one of y'all tell me how to be saved? I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I don't know how to be saved. Boy, it'd been good to got a selfie picture right there. Just the look on them guys' face. I mean, they were speechless. Here's a lost man standing there. How are you saved? You want to get saved this morning? I'll tell you what, if you're unmovable in that thought, I promise you get saved today.
Amen.
Somebody said, it ain't like that. If you're unmovable about it, I promise you get saved today. If you come up here and say, well, maybe the Lord will save me today. I don't know. I'll see. If you're unmovable about seeking salvation, the Bible said you'll find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. Then you say, remember. And that foreman in there, Gayla, I really didn't even know he was a Christian. and he's my brother and I love him. I hope this does not leave a bad taste in his mouth. I really didn't know he was a Christian. I was sick in Wendell. I'd worked with Wendell. And Wendell had, without fail, continued to show me he loved the Lord. He was unmovable, Brother Melvin, even though he worked beside an infidel like me. I mean, a rough one, boy. And I mean, boy, I didn't choose my words carefully. I just let them fly. Lots of time, he couldn't take no more. He'd walk off. But anyway, I went in there. That foreman, Brother Vernon, he quoted about five verses in the Bible to me. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness to him. But I want you to know, just as fast as he threw that seed out there, Wendell jumped up and watered it. He seen it had no effect on me. He said, Eddie, I want us to leave. I want us to leave right now. The Bible said one plants, another water. God gives increase. It all happened just like that. We walked out that foreman's office with people brushing our shoulders on both sides, Brother Melvin. Wendell Shaw put it in layman's terms. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He said, He's just waiting for you to ask Him. He said, let me give you this illustration. God had to give him this, Anita. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, I mean, here I am. I mean, I'm dumb in a box of rocks. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong, come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, Wendell, I'd forgive him. He said, Eddie, it's the same way with God. And there was faith swelled up in my heart. I could have got saved right then and right there. I could have done it right there. I wanted to wait till Sunday and get saved in church. But I couldn't. I couldn't wait. He's bigger than me. I still remember going back there to that back bedroom at 9000 Avenue Road. And I remember going in there trembling. And I remember all the thoughts running through my mind. But what if God won't forgive me all I've done? What if I've waited too late? What if He won't? What if He can't? And I knelt down there and I still remember the prayer I prayed. I still remember it. It's monumental in my mind. I can never forget it. I knelt down there and I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me You love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask You, You'd forgive me my sin and save my soul. And Keith, I said the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking You to save me. And God became real. He showed Himself to be God. He took His rightful place upon the throne of my heart. That void was gone. I became whole. I became complete. He begun that work in me and continues it unto this day that He started April 27, 1988. All my fear left. All my conviction, guilt, condemnation gone. And the peace of God that passed all understanding immediately took their place. The joy unspeakable and full of glory was so great. I got up, Anita, went over and looked in that mirror. And Luke, that mirror couldn't show it, but I couldn't hide it. Man, I took off a running. I was like that Ethiopian eunuch. I went on my way rejoicing. I run people down. Man, they got tired of hearing it, but I never got tired of telling it. Hallelujah! Woo!
Amen.
I still ain't tired of telling it. I told a woman to wait for this morning. Jesus loved her.
Yeah.
He was longing to save her.
Sure.
Name was Cookie. Met her getting gas at Edmonton. She couldn't work the pump. And while she was trying to figure out which button to push, I talked to her about Jesus. Listen, if you're unmovable about seeking salvation, I promise you this, for every step you take, Jesus will take ten. I promise you this, if you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Father, we thank You for the precious Spirit that's here this morning. Father, we thank You for the message and the thought and the great truths that, Lord, You've made known here this morning. Lord, may we strive to be unmovable. May we, I pray, give that which You paid in full, our reasonable service. May we render it to You. May You get Your money's worth from these clay vessels. Lord, may the world have a hard time overthrowing our unmovable faith. May we, I pray, be jewels for Your crown. May we, Lord, I pray, be ornaments of praise for Your name. I don't know who you're speaking to this morning, Lord. I know you're speaking to me. But help me, I pray this year, 2014, to do 10 times more than I did last year. And Lord, if you could possibly help me to do that, I'll give you the praise and the glory. And I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, may you whet someone else's appetite this morning. May they run up here and say, Lord, I want a double portion. I want a blessing that the room can't contain. I want to take the treasure of the message of Jesus to the far-reached corners of darkness and light it up with the light of the gospel. Help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand this morning. Listen, let's not be hearers only. Let's be doers. Maybe somebody needs to come this morning. If you came, it might help someone else to come. If the Lord's tugging on your heart to come, by all means come. And if not, listen to this invitation that God's given this morning. He's given it all to come. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
The Bible said today's the day of salvation. 164.
Didn't get saved last year. You're going to do something different this year. Bless you, William. Bless you, brother. Appreciate your fortitude. Appreciate your steadfastness. Appreciate the godly example for the Lord. Lord, bless my brother this morning. I thank you so much for men like William, Lord. Lord, don't mind one bit coming up here and thanking you for the grace been given unto him, the mercy been bestowed. Bless him, Lord, that can't even be numbered for multitude. Bless Brother William. Thank you, Lord, to be able to be here myself today. Hear what I've felt. Hear what I've heard you say today to me. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Are you walking?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Rest each moment in the crucified. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, I'm washed in the blood. If that soul cleansed in blood of the Lamb, yes, my garments are spotless. They are white as snow. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
He's coming, friend. I don't know if it's going to be 2014. I don't know if it's going to be tonight or today. I promise you this, he's coming. What kind of excuse will you give? What kind of reason will you offer? You're to come this morning. You're to come right now. The Bible said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You're to come. God's speaking this morning because he spoke to me. I know he's speaking this morning. I know he's calling and growing this morning. I know the devil's fighting. Now give out. Come on up, brother, this morning. Get it fixed. The song to set my heart's fixed. Get it fixed this morning. The Lord's got oceans of grace, oceans of salvation. There's a bountiful supply. Won't you come? Boy, it'd be good to go home, get your phone up, and say, guess what? I got saved today. I got saved. It's wonderful. I wish I'd have done it sooner. Won't you get some of that? Or go back like you did last time and last year. And I'll tell you what, buddy. The summer's come and the harvest is past and still not saved. Why don't I just run up there and say, Brother Eddie, pray with me. I need to get it fixed today. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Maybe somebody got a word on your heart. Bless you, Gayla. I don't mind light of rain at all. She wants to be anointed with oil. Anybody else this morning? What she's doing, she's saying, I believe God and the Bible enough to show my faith this morning and ask that you anoint me with oil. The Bible tells us to not just anoint with oil, but pray over
me. God, hands around me. Will I?
Bless you, Gayla.
People want
to. Bless you, Lord. God bless you. Y'all listen this morning. This is the kind of heart that we need to have, a desire to live before God. To be blameless in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Lord. I bless this, my sister, Lord, is doing what thy word says. Anoint her with oil. Lord, she wants victory. Lord, just like those men on that frozen pond said, 40 souls, stand for thee. 40 souls seek victory. Bless, I pray, Sister Gail. Give her, Lord, even more than that which she asked. Lord, I pray you'll give her, Lord, anointed power and anointed strength that, Lord, she may be able to rebuke all those that hinder and all those that stand. And I pray, dear Father God, you would use her as a pillar, Lord, to wear them out and let them see, Lord, they agree what she's got. And I pray she'll go to her. And Lord, I pray she'll be victorious in her. Give her, Lord, I praise victory in this matter. Bless her and so do it. In Jesus' name we thank you for the faith she's manifested in us. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you, Sister Gail. I'll tell you right now, that's exactly what we need more of right there. She said, I want something to change. I want it to change now. I'm getting tired. You know, one thing we are guilty of is repetition. Samson said, I'll go out as I did other times. Repetition. The Bible said he knew not or wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He found out something was different. You need to realize this morning, get out of that rut. Heaven says instead of ruts, grave with the ends knocked out of it. That's all it is. It's a ditch with the ends knocked out of it. Place put someone in. Get out of it. Who else this morning? Thank you, Gayla. God bless you. It was blessing just to see someone move like that. And I'll tell you what, I could tell when she stepped out, but she was seeking victory. Who else this morning got a need?
I love the Lord this morning.
Bless you, Molly.
You know, this whole world is giving us a punch. But we have some tomorrow.
Right, man.
Tomorrow, man.
Yeah.
And I pray
bless her heart.
Amen.
Amen.
I love
you. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Molly. I'll tell you what, I like to see it on that fashion. Not just what she said, but just looking at why she said it. Amen. It's hard. Hard for the devil to do anything with somebody that mind's made of.
Amen.
Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. He said it ain't up for discussion. We're not going to cast poles or boats. We're just going to live for God. Amen.
You know the world thinks we don't have nothing.
Yeah.
Got it all.
I was thinking about that verse. And we brought nothing in this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And I was thinking about the difference that Jesus made. I brought nothing in this world. But thanks to Him, I'm taking everything. Amen. I'm leaving with everything. Glory. Hallelujah.
I
want to
thank my Lord for saving me.
Bless you, Gayla.
At this time, I've been a Christian.
Woo!
I've tried to live.
Bless her heart.
By my mother. Supposed to be a Christian, and she turns me all the time.
All right. Lord, help you with that. He will. The Bible said a man's foes will be there of his own household. That's the one the devil used the most. The devil used Eve to bring Adam down. And
I called my sister from Ohio to come down. We had a little argument the other day.
Yeah.
God knows all about him. She says they were her witnesses. I said, yeah. I've got one better than you.
Bless you, Gayla.
God is my witness.
Amen. That's right.
I stick up for my God.
Bless you, Gayla. I like it. Every fortitude that men have right there. Amen. I like to see that in that fashion. Amen. I'll tell you what a change. When you show that you've got a made up mind, you're unmovable, you'll find out people start coming to you. They'll see you got something they need, something that they don't have. Who else this morning? Never made going overtime. Bless you, Nita.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. I might not can overstep where I stand, but I can just stand and keep doing until something else might take place.
That's right.
But I'm going to stand in the place that I need to, and I'm going to be unmovable.
Amen.
If it's for the Lord, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord for that, and I thank Him for giving me that message and giving me that encouragement.
Amen.
I just needed to hear it.
Bless you, Sister Nita. We're going to preach a message tonight that kind of hinge off of this message. It kind of echoes what's been said this morning, but I appreciate Anita. I know exactly what she's talking about. I'll tell you right now, buddy, there's a great cloud of witnesses that we've got to look to, but there'll also be a great cloud of discouragers that will come up against you and try to wear you out. They'll chip away at you little by little. They'll try to wear you down. That's why you need to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Anybody else this morning?
Well, yeah, I'd like to put the message, and for what I failed here today, the world can't give us what God gave us.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, and I wish everybody could get saved and
see
their need. There's no reason for them to be lost.
True.
Jesus paid the price of the cross.
Amen.
We've got to come to Him. He said, whosoever will Him come to Him and protect
Him.
We'll have freedom. So we've got to go to that altar and go to seek Him, you know.
That's right.
Let Him know we want Him and He'll get Him. Save us on Him.
That's right, Brother Melvin. James was even so bold to say, you have not because you ask not. He said, the problem's not with God. He said, the problem is you just ain't asking. You ain't seeking. You ain't calling. You ain't coming. Therefore, you ain't getting. I'll tell you right now, boy, the Lord waited on me for 34 years. I'm glad He didn't wait in vain. I'm glad there was a day, hallelujah, when I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I became a new creature.
Yeah.
Man, people at work, I was something to be reckoned with. They just knew I was just going to be so long and fall off the wagon, but it wasn't like that at all. Man, I was completely extreme makeover. They couldn't understand why I wouldn't talk like I did and do like I did and go where I went. Didn't want to no more.
That's right. Amen.
Brother Eddie, I just want to thank the Lord this morning for salvation.
Amen.
For His forgiveness, His love, mercy that's been extended to me.
Bless you, Brother Barnett.
And I'm thankful for my personal relationship with Him. I'm a strong preacher on individual, personal relationships.
Amen, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we might go a little while and it seems like maybe that He's, you know, He's there, but He's not coming around like you'd like for Him to.
That's right. Bless your heart.
And this week I was out somewhere. I don't know. Maybe I've been to Glasgow. I don't know where I've been. But anyway, I was on the way home. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, just as real as I'm hearing you talk.
Bless you, brother.
And said, when you get home, Linda is going to talk to you about a certain thing. Nothing bad, nothing wrong.
Right.
Some of our own personal affairs, you know, in our life. The Lord said that to me.
Yeah.
Just almost like it wasn't an audible voice. Right. I don't want people to misunderstand.
Speaks to our heart.
But He spoke to the heart.
Yeah.
And it was as real as if I was hearing it with my ears. And I said, you know, thank you, Lord, for that thought. And it was totally dismissed out of my mind. I hadn't even thought about it. And I came home, and I might have been there 30 minutes or so and got a phone call. And so I went in the living room, was sitting there talking. She came in there while I was talking, and she had a notebook and a pen. Oh, my. You have to know Linda, you know. She's a very unique person in so many ways. And she sat down on the couch, and when I finished, I guess I talked longer than she thought, and she got up and went to the kitchen and left her notebook and pen laying there. So I finished on the phone, and I got up with her. I said, was you wanting something? And she said, what makes you think that? I said, well, you have the notebook and pen laying in there. She said, yes, I do. Come in here and sit down. And I said, before you tell me, I'm going to tell you what you're going to tell me about.
Wow.
And I told her.
Yeah.
She said, I want to know how you know so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to come together here.
Yeah.
It's good to go to assemble and worship. And I know the Bible said to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you this morning, preacher, unless you and I have that relationship outside this building,
true.
Right. Amen.
That God can set beside you in your truck.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
He'll go with me when I'm down in the barn.
Woo!
When I load my four beagle hounds up and I go run a rabbit, and I sit on the tailgate of my truck and he'll set that.
What?
Somebody said the Lord don't deal with things like this. Listen. It's not that He's enjoying the rabbit race.
Right.
But it's because He lives in my heart.
Right.
Amen.
We need a people today that has this personal relationship with God.
Amen.
That He's there. Feel for Him. The Bible said,
reach out
and feel
Him.
He's not far away.
Not very far from any one of them. Yeah.
He's right near us.
Yeah.
So she said, just listen to me. So she went ahead and she didn't want me to tell her what she was going to tell me or what she was going to talk about. So she got through it all and my eyes were wet.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this morning, across the way over yonder, just a month or so before I was 17 years old, I bowed at an old-fashioned altar bench, a mourner's bench.
Yeah.
We don't call them that anymore.
Right.
It was a mourner's bench where people went and they mourned and they wept and they prayed and they cried their way through to victory.
That's right.
I got a hold of something that day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless you,
that I've never...
Something real.
I don't know how that people can not want something that is so real,
amen,
so rich to them.
Amen.
Of course, I do understand because they don't know if they could just have, if they could have just 2 minutes of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd want it more than
anything.
That's right.
That's right.
And I praise Him this morning for what He means to me and the journey He's been with me. He's been with me, He said, in no greater, truer verse of Scripture that Jesus ever spoke, that I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Oh, I'm with you.
But I'll go all the way with you. I'll go with you through everything,
that's right,
even to death.
Amen.
Now, He didn't say that you can't walk away from me, but He said, I'm not going to you.
Yeah.
If
right,
we don't walk with God, it's our choice.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
But we can walk with Him and live for Him. And I'm glad, and in my older, latter years, I'm glad that He's just as real,
amen,
as He was when I first got Him. I may not be jumping as high,
still
kicking
jumping
as high. I may not walk the top of these benches,
amen,
but if God wanted me to, I could.
Try.
Amen.
But I'm glad that He's real in here.
Amen.
In my heart, I praise Him today for what He is to me, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
Old song said, my God is real.
God is in my car, and He's put gas in that truck. People said, no, He does not. God don't do that. Oh, yes, He does.
Yeah.
He does. Amen.
I'll tell you right now, He can do anything.
He had to let me run out.
He turned the water into wine. Hey, He caused 2 fishes and 5 barloaves to feed 5,000 besides men and women. If you read, He fed 2 multitudes, not just that one. He fed another 4,000 and 5,000. That's 9,000, I'm counting men and women. You just read it there. He fed 2 multitudes.
Right.
He can do it.
He can do it.
Yeah, He can.
Then they took some home.
Yeah. 12 baskets, gathered them up. 12 baskets left over. Molly said they took home leftovers.
That fed me a long time. Linda, don't miss, lose nothing. You'll have a buttercup in there with this and a buttercup with that. You better open up the buttercups to see what's in it. So, you know, that would have fed me a long time, wouldn't it? 12
yeah.
baskets.
Amen. Well, it's been good to be here. I like it when it's like that.
Amen.
Peter said on that Mount of Transfiguration, he said, it's a good place to be. I like it in those good places to be. The Lord met with us here this morning. I don't know how the message come to you, but I'll tell you, boy, the Lord been here this morning. And if nobody else got nothing on their heart, but we'll be dismissed.
Been saved. The best way I explain a born-again experience is heaven came down and filled
with
you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, some big God moves in Israel somewhere. Amen.
And you'll never be the same.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, boy, I kind of wish you could do it again. Hallelujah.
Praise.
I didn't want to tell this. Brother Vernon went with that right there, and I really wasn't going to tell us this morning, but I was not there this week. And like he said, you know, you'd be out rabbit hunting or whatever, and you're sitting there, and ain't nobody around, you'll start talking to the Lord. And I was out there, I said, Lord, if you'll help me find an arrowhead, I'll fall down right here in this mud and lift up my hand. And praise you.
Yeah.
Took about 10 steps and I laid one. I picked it up, took about 2 steps, and it came to my remembrance. And I hadn't done that. Perfect area. And I got caught up in that thing.
Yeah.
I hit that mud and raised them hands up and said, Lord, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You was gracious enough to help me find the area. Ended up finding 4. Had the muddiest knees you ever seen in your life. Looked like a mud ball when I got home. I'll tell you right now, like he said, it's good to fellowship. The Bible said we walk in light, He's in light. We have fellowship one with another.
Right.
You can have fellowship with God.
Right.
You ain't too busy. You just take time to be holy. You can have fellowship with God.
Right.
You know, Martha, she's busy about serving. She got all big and mad. She said, Lord, Tell my sister Mary to get here and help me serve. And Jesus said, Martha, listen, you're careful. You're troubled about many things. But Mary's chosen that good thing. Shall not be taken away. You're too busy. Have fellowship with God. Why don't you start off this year, just take time and say, Lord, are you been trying to talk to me? Am I living close? Am I doing those things pleasing your sight? You know, one time I got down and prayed, Molly, it hurt me. And I got down and I said, Lord, forgive me all the times I've been less than expectation. And it hit me in the heart. And I wept for a long time before I'd ever get another word out. I said, Lord, I don't want to be less than your expectations. I don't know what you got in mind, Eddie Wade, or whatever it is. That's what I want to do.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Vernon, dismissed. Go ahead. You got something, Brother Melvin?
Yeah, there's one thing I think, man. We went to James Greg Haskins and Jesse's 60th wedding anniversary yesterday, a few of them, and seen Brother Bailey and his wife up there.